Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good hump day to one and all. Good Wednesday morning. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Coming to you live, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike and Pete across the way, Bogus with your update, says you got 3 hours, 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go up until, what's going on, Taz? Good morning, bro.
Moose, what's up,
morning,
my
morning,
man?
Morning.
Middle of the week city right here. We rock and roll. That's what we do. We bring it big time in this episode. Full throttle episode. 3 hours will buzz right by.
Good show on tap. Yes. We're going to be joined by Eric Montross a little later on in the program. UNC North Carolina radio network analyst. A legendary collegiate player and big man center for the Tar Heels. And we're going to also be joined by ODU men's basketball coach, and that is Jeff Jones a little later on in the program, as well as in a pair of games last night in Dayton, Ohio. Fairleigh Dickinson comes back, and they are victorious, down by double digits for large sections of the opening game. But they advance to take on Gonzaga, and then in the second game, it was Temple falling to Belmont as the Belmont Bruins win that game by 11 going away. Was a back-and-forth game for the majority of it before Belmont was able to take control of it. But Belmont and Fairleigh Dickinson were your two victors last night out in Dayton, Ohio. And we'll get into all the college hoops, and we'll have all of our selections tomorrow. And remember to go to Taz and the Moose on social media, on Twitter, and sign up for the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge. Do that before the games get going in earnest shortly afternoon Eastern time on Thursday afternoon. So we'll get to all the college hoops, but we begin with the big news in Major League Baseball yesterday, and that is that Mike Trout is a very, very rich man who had 2 years and $66.5 million left on his deal, signs a 10-year, $360 million contract extension. So in total, over the next 12 years, Mike Trout is going to earn $426.5 million for Trout as a member of the Los Angeles Angels out there in beautiful Anaheim, California.
Yeah.
He is a very, very rich 27-year-old.
Yeah.
And to the best player, baseball player in the world comes all the money in the world as he gets $430 million, $426.5 million to be exact. Over the next 12 years.
Insane, right? Just crazy amount of money. It is good for him. He is the man. He is the man, and there's a great chance he's going to go down as the great, like you're basically saying, as the greatest of all time, which just sounds crazy, right?
Well, he's the greatest player now.
I mean,
he's got a ways to go to be the greatest of all time.
Well, he could pass, as far as being a great center fielder, the great Willie Mays, something like that. Like, that's a great, great thing. But regardless, this guy's getting this big extension with the Angels, and it's well-deserved. And he's a young guy, just a young guy. We're going to get to see him play a lot more. Hopefully we get to see him in the postseason eventually. But he is an amazing, amazing talent. And what a monster deal. And what a smart, smart move by the Angels to do this, to lock this kid in. I got to tell you, I don't know your take on it, but you know, I do think Bryce Harper kind of inadvertently helped him, you know, by going public and saying that, you know, once the deal ends for Trout, he's going to try and recruit him to come to play for the Philadelphia Phillies, Bryce was saying. So I think once you do that, I thought that was smart in a way that Bryce basically saying, for the Phillies, I'm going after my buddy. I want to get Mike Trout on this team with us, yada, yada, yada. And I do think at the end of the day, the Angels, I mean, they didn't need Mike Trout to, I'm sorry, they didn't need Bryce Harper to have a bell go off him. But I do think that helped a little bit, you know, to motivate them, you know, to sign them early.
I mean, you might be right. The thing is that I do think Trout left money on the table because I do think if he played it out and played out the 2 years and $66.5 million left on his deal and he hit free agency in a couple years, Taz, I think Trout probably would have gotten more than $360 million over 10 years, 2 years from now. So, you know, he is, secure certainly financially, and there's no doubt about it, but... Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, clearly, I ticked off the Angels, as we know that. As they call Major League Baseball.
You know, yeah.
I mean, they were having conversations with Trout to begin with. They knew what they had. They've got to build a team around Trout to be a winning team. Otherwise, they'll be, you know, as non-existent as they have been the past number of years,
right.
Even with the best player in the world. And that is exactly what he is, Taz. But, you know, for Mike Trout, he gets his security, but he also didn't maximize his value. Because if he had free agency in a couple of years, he would have gotten, I think, north of $400 million in free agency.
I think you're right that he would have gotten that as long as the big if. He would have stayed healthy over 2 years.
Sure.
Let's just say, God forbid, the guy would have blown his shoulder out, or blown his knee out, and then his value, as you know, would drop potentially. Or, you know, something, an injury happens to the level that it's just so bad that it could affect him over 2 years. So, you know, I mean, to me, I get what he's doing here. Just let me get it while I can. You know what I mean? It's all good because he knows what's up right now and he knows that's where he wants to play in that beautiful part of Southern California for that club. So, you know, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that if there are a lot of guys that would want to maximize and give every single last dollar, and I think he left a little meat on the bone. But I think for the Angels, though, it makes sense for them. It's great for them. I don't know if it's necessarily great for Major League Baseball because I do think where you look at the game's best player, I do think for a large stretch, and this might come across as a little bit of East Coast bias, but, I mean, it is what it is. I think for a lot of people, he disappears, especially on the East Coast. They're not staying up late to watch Angel baseball games. They're just not, especially if you're working early in the morning, whatever East Coast city that you want to pick, you're not going to sit down and all of a sudden start watching Angel baseball at 10 o'clock at night. You'll catch the highlights the next day, and we know how brilliant of a player that he is offensively and defensively, Taz, as a center fielder. But I think for Major League Baseball to have your best player kind of disappear out west in a city or in an area where they're the second fiddle to the Dodgers, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing for Major League Baseball. Now, they haven't done a great job of marketing them, and we've seen guys in smaller markets. Look at the Greek Freak in the NBA. He's an absolute superstar across the sports landscape, and you wouldn't say Milwaukee is the lifeblood of the United States. I mean, it's a great city, but it's not New York, it's not Chicago, it's not Los Angeles, it's not Miami, it's not Dallas, it's not one of these major markets. Milwaukee is not. So, you know, you can still build a star even though he's not playing in a major market. However, he's kind of a ghost to a large section of this country. And that's a problem for Major League Baseball because people on the East Coast, even if you're a big baseball fan, you're not staying up late if you have work the next day.
Oh, I think they're all great points you're making, and I agree with you. I mean, me living on the East Coast like you, I got to tell you, I mean, I don't want to say a handful of times, maybe a few more times than a handful, I've watched, you know, Trout play a full game. I mean, because he is on the West Coast, and I think your point and your example of using the Greek Freak with the Bucks is an awesome point, and I agree with you. And there's none of these players, none of these guys from Machado to Bryce Harper to Mike Trout, none of these great young players, MLB has done a horrendous job,
no question,
making these young guys into stars. Horrendous. And, you know, I'm begging you, let me see some personality. Just do a simple profile video package on someone and put some money behind it and push it out there. Something. Do something. It's horrible.
Well, they don't. And that's why we said at the time, and you brought up that, you know, the Harper scenario of him openly recruiting Mike Trout was a good thing for Major League Baseball because it created a little drama.
Yeah.
In a sport in which the drama is about the rules. And speeding up the game, and whether or not there's going to be one trade deadline, or, you know, how many seconds is a pitcher going to have to throw the baseball, and adjusting the game to the millennials and the younger baseball fan, Taz, to kind of regenerate those fans that maybe turned a blind eye to Major League Baseball and became bigger fans of other sports. That's where the drama lies in Major League Baseball, right? Is trying to change the game and adjusting
You're
the
right.
rules.
Yeah.
And for the NBA, the drama is not there. I mean, the NBA, you could go to any single city, and there is a massive talking point that fans get into regarding the National Basketball Association. And even though the regular season is not all that great, that does play. I mean, go to any city. I mean, you look at Los Angeles. You've got the future of Doc Rivers with the Clippers, whether or not he was interested in going to the Lakers. And we have the Lakers and the drama of them trying to add stars to LeBron James, and how this season has been an absolute failure in Los Angeles, and Jeannie Buss and Magic Johnson. You go to New York and their owner and James Dolan. You go up to Toronto and is Kawhi Leonard going to leave the Raptors and go out west when they hit free agency? You go to Boston. Is their star guard going to leave the Boston Celtics and become a Knick or sign someplace else in Kyrie Irving in free agency task? And that's what plays in the NBA. You don't see a lot of that in Major League Baseball. That's why it was kind of refreshing when you looked at the Harper openly pursuing Mike Trout.
Yeah.
And people actually got into that because it was an interesting talking point.
You're right, man. I try sometimes, a lot of times, to watch MLB Network on TV. I'm sure you do the same thing. And the guys that are on air, the guys that work in the studio, they're great personalities. They have great credibility. They know what they're talking about. But I feel bad for them. I'm going to be blunt. Like, in my opinion, when you watch it, it's boring. Because these guys have nothing. These sportscasters, baseball analysts and what and the guys that are running the play-by-play, for lack of better terms, in the studio, there's nothing for them to sink their teeth in. There's really no stories, you know, and it's like, and that plays into what you're saying. Also, as you know, it's like a lot of the young kids, the grassroots of baseball, I mean, you know, it's kids are flocking to lacrosse and flocking to soccer, you know, because it's more exciting, you know, and it's like, and that's not just because of the way the game is. That's because of what you're talking about, that there's no stars. There's no, like, you know.
Well, there are stars, but they don't do a good job marketing
personalities.
Them.
Right. When I say stars, I mean, like, household names. That's what I mean when I say
sure,
stars. They're
right.
all stars,
I mean,
though. You're right.
Think about it. I mean, no, there are. I
a
mean,
lot
but,
of stars.
But I mean, you know, you think of, okay, just on one example that kind of just jumped into my head, Taz. Think about when a new sneaker comes out for Nike. For
the Paul George, the blowout,
well,
they call
whatever,
it.
Whatever, the Kyrie Irving, Paul George. I mean,
it's a joke.
You look, no, but you know what I'm saying. Last night during warmups, Kevin Durant was wearing kind of a retro feel to his own sneaker, and it generated buzz on social media, right? It was kind of I think it was deemed the 90s cool kid or something like that, right? Sneaker, right? And it generated some buzz. When do you get that with like a cleat in Major League Baseball?
Spikes.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, like Machado's wearing his new old school
spikes. But you don't
spikes.
Because in Major League Baseball, you can't step outside the uniform colors for the most part.
Right,
I mean, they
might
like a little bit of a variation. That's what makes the All-Star game so intriguing.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, you'll see a guy wearing...
You'll see him explode and something.
Right.
You'll see
a guy wearing gold spikes, gold cleats. You'll see a guy that's wearing all of a sudden... You're like, oh my God, look at those. Those are awesome. That's fantastic. I'd love to see that. They've allowed that more now in the NBA, and I think that's something that maybe Major League Baseball should allow players to go out there and do as well, instead of being so cut and dry, sticking to the uniform colors. And someone might say, I mean, Moose, that's a dopey. It's just kind of one example.
I like what you're saying.
One example of kind of marketing your players and marketing what is going to draw people, because that's what people are into.
Sure.
The style. People are into style. People
what they
are
can
into,
relate to.
Well, no doubt
understand.
About it. No, you know, I remember growing up, I was a huge Ricky Henderson fan. I couldn't wait for his Mizuno batting gloves to come into Herman's so I could run out there and go get them. And Herman's is a sporting goods store.
Used to be in New York.
For about 20 years. But
I think it was a sporting goods store. I know that. But I'm saying, I think it was Northeast.
It was Northeast.
I think it was. But I do remember Herman's.
So I am dating myself, and I'm probably playing someone out west.
It's like Modell's, which I think is gone now, too.
Right, exactly. So I think Modell's is still around in certain spots. But Herman's, and I couldn't wait for them to come in, because my favorite player at the time, Ricky Henderson, those were his batting gloves.
They were neon green.
And they had protective top on
that's
the
awesome.
Top. I couldn't wait to step on the Little League field wearing those
Ricky Henderson batting gloves. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what I mean. That's what drew me to that player, because not only was it his game, and I never had his speed, but it was also his style
on the field. Yeah, no, and that's what makes kids or fans or what have you, that connectivity to the athlete that they like or idolize or what have you, or respect or just love their style, like you with Ricky Henderson's. I get it, man. Like, you know, and I do think with basketball, it's a teeny bit, and your example's great. I just think, like, they have now for several years, they just have done a great job, the NBA, of making superstars. And those superstars, they kind of help their own brand because they're outspoken. They have a big presence on social media. These baseball cats, as a stereotype, they don't have a big presence on social media. NFL players have a much bigger presence on social media than the MLB player does. And as we know, we live in a world of social media. That's no matter if we like it or not, we live in that world.
You're right.
And dude, these MLB guys, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of them that are outspoken to do some good stuff on social media. So I don't want to typecast all of them. But as a stereotype, we cover sports every day. We cover topics like that. If someone says something outlandish or does something outlandish on social media, I don't remember the last time we had something like that on social media. I mean, besides a retired player like Canseco, who's saying that A-Rod's wife or his girlfriend
aside
or whatever.
That, right. And
you
people
get my
look
point.
At what,
yeah.
Right. And people look at what Canseco has to say, some with a grain of salt.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying.
A guy losing his mind.
Right. He is. But, right. But, and that's not the type of presence you want, a guy like that.
No.
He's retired and he's a negative guy. But my point is, there's no presence. There's no. And your point about the sneakers is great. I mean, I just. They're very, it's just, they got to do something. You got these guys, man. Like right now, we're sitting in the studio, we're watching a baseball game. We're watching the A's and the Mariners. Okay, from Japan.
Yes.
Okay, this is opening, this is the first real game of 2019 season.
Correct.
No one even knows.
No, well.
But
I mean,
I'm exaggerating.
No, I get what you're saying.
The masses don't know.
I get what you're
in this
saying.
Country.
I get it. You're waking up at 5:35 East Coast time, or 5:50, whenever this game got going. 5:35, I believe it was, right? And you're tuning into Mariners and A's over in Japan. But I will say this, Taz. If this was an NBA team, two NBA teams playing an opener over in Japan, I tell you, it generated a lot more buzz than this baseball game.
No doubt about it, dude. No doubt about it, buddy.
I tell you, in terms of marketing it, selling it, making people aware of it, you know, there would be a lot more conversation and talk about it. And you understand why baseball's doing it. I mean, Japan is a hotbed for baseball.
Absolutely, for years.
There's no doubt. There's been many stars of the Japanese league, Ichiro's playing for Seattle, that have come over and played in Major League Baseball and have been huge stars stateside. So you understand why they're doing it. But to play to your point, yeah, it disappears.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it does disappear. And I will say this for Trout, as we've brought up, Taz, not necessarily best for baseball, great for the Angels, great for Trout because he gets his security. And he's going to get $426.5 million, and he's going to be a lifelong Angel. You know why else it's good for Trout? He disappears.
Right. Yeah.
Well, but my point being, Taz, is that I don't know if Mike Trout, who doesn't have a great personality, and Bisseglia says his Q rating is on the level of Kenneth Faried. Kenneth Faried's an NBA player, is a decent player. But think about that. That's the best baseball player in the world. His Q rating is on the same level as a decent basketball player in the NBA. We're not talking about Steph Curry. We're talking about Kenneth Faried.
That's kind of alarming.
That is alarming.
My God.
But Taz, I will say this for Trout. He gets the money, and he doesn't have any of the pressure.
No, that's right.
He's in a town. I mean, I know they call him the Los Angeles Angels. They actually play in Anaheim.
They're in Anaheim, right?
Right. It's a smaller subsidiary of Los Angeles.
Beautiful area.
But people have described it as kind of being, you know, kind of similar to the area that he grew up in Jersey.
Okay.
You know, kind of a little bit more of a small town type of feel.
Right.
The pressure's not on him on day in and day out basis. He doesn't have nearly the pressure that Bryce Harper does.
No.
Doesn't have nearly the pressure that Giancarlo Stanton does. Anything of that nature. I would say it's similar to what Manny Machado's pressure is going to be like in San Diego. But he got a lot, you know, he got a significant amount more money with the Angels. So he gets paid. He gets his money. He gets his security. He gets no pressure, Taz. And there's little to no expectations for the team.
Mm.
Taz, he's not getting that money. Imagine he got that money in New York with the Yankees, and I'm not trying to downplay the Angels, but I'm talking about the passion and the coverage. What about if he got that money from the Mets?
Or the Cubs.
Or
something like that. Or even the Dodgers.
The Phillies.
Well, not even the Dodgers.
What about
the
if
Phillies?
He got that money in the Phillies,
no, you're
Taz?
Right. The Mets, Yankees, Cubs, Phillies, Red Sox, dude.
It would be an absolute grind.
He
gets paid, Taz, and he doesn't get any of the pressure with getting that kind of money.
Yeah, you are.
So how do you
right.
lose if you're Mike Trout? You get the biggest contract in baseball history.
Has he ever played in a playoff game?
Yeah, they've been in the playoffs.
They've been. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to remember. Like, I feel like you never see the guy in the postseason.
No, but I know they haven't been there. Right. They
it just been... feels like ever. Never.
No,
but, you know, I get you.
But you know the point that I'm making.
I do.
The point that I'm making is that he is in a perfect scenario. He's in the sweet spot.
Yeah, he really is.
He is in the absolute sweet spot. So for Major League Baseball, and I think all the other players in baseball, whether it be Betts, whether it be Aaron Judge, and the other guys that are looking to get paid down the line, Taz, this is a contract that you celebrate. Just like the Harper contract, you celebrate because you want to have guys that are pushing the boundary. And Bryce Harper and Scott Boras worked hard to get the $330 million. And they had to sign a 13-year contract with the Phillies to get the $330 million. You look at Trout, he signs a 10-year, $360 million deal. He is the best player in the world. He does deserve it, amazingly enough, because he might actually be more valuable to the Angels in baseball than 360.
Yeah, and they got to build around him. If do they even want to win? That's the thing.
I would hope so.
I mean, they got a $3 billion deal. Their TV deal is $3 billion.
Nice.
So, you know, that's where they're getting obviously a plethora of their money is coming from the TV deal. So for Trout, he don't care. As long as he's getting paid, I mean, you can't blame the guy.
No.
But they got a $3 billion deal for their TV. You know, so that's a huge thing. So hopefully they want to win. I think their farm system's a little better than it's been in the past. You know, but still, they gotta now. And they still have money to grab some other guys.
They do.
They have that money.
They do have some money, so we'll see what they do. But Mike Trout, you don't have to worry about him hitting free agency. The Angels don't have to hear about that. Their general manager, the former Yankee assistant, Billy Epler, doesn't have to hear about the future of Mike Trout either. But is it good for Major League Baseball? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. Not the Angels. Anybody that's signing a $360 million 10-year contract has, it's good for them.
Oh, it's definitely a personal goal of mine.
Right. So it's not whether or not it's good for Mike Trout. Is it good for Major League Baseball to have the greatest player in the world kind of disappear out west? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It's Taz and Moose on a Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Taz Moose, Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio. The big story that got us going was the Mike Trout contract extension that he signed yesterday with the Los Angeles Angels. So he's going to be making $426.5 million over the course of the next 12 years. Good if you can get it, if you're Mike Trout. Baseball's underway over in Japan. Bogish is in the house first time this morning.
But I'm a little confused. Why is... Because I'm looking at a run sheet.
Yeah.
And I don't see this Andrew Bogish name. I see...
Bob Feller.
I see Brad Heller's name on here. I'm just confused. Like, is this a typo? Or can we just have Andrew leave?
I'll say two things. One, it is a typo. It's from yesterday. And two, I'm happy you saw it.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Wow.
Yes.
Wise guy Jones. What a comeback. Yeah, Mikey B's on fire on this Wednesday.
Yesterday's rundown, I didn't switch the update anchor.
Only a few people get that joke. But, Mike, you nailed it right there. Ooh, you daggered me. All right, here we go.
What's up, Andrew?
I missed this yesterday. Yes. Here's your report sponsored by the NFL Network. Every weeknight, NFL Network's experts get you ready for the draft. Everything you need to know about the class of 2019, all leading up to the first pick, Path of the Draft, every night, 6 p.m. Eastern, live on NFL Network. So if Taz is the Mike Trout of this show and Moose is our Bryce Harper, I think that makes Pete our Alex Bregman. The Astros all-star third baseman has reportedly signed a 6-year, $100 million extension. That is Bilotti money. Bregman wouldn't have hit the open market until 2020. This deal buys out his arbitration years and his first 2 years of free agency. Bregman finished fifth in MVP voting, fourth in voting for the CW Post Radio Hall of Fame.
Nice.
He was fifth in that one, too. Excuse me. The Oakland A's had...
Are you the only one of the sports anchors here on CBS Sports Radio that has an intro music?
I cannot speak for all day parts, but I Between me and Rich Ackerman, that is correct.
Okay. Well, Rich Ackerman has an intro.
He does not. So I have that. He does not.
He's the only one that does day.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I don't know what happens after 6 p.m.
Oh, well,
all right. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, next.
The Oakland A's had the very first lead of this new season.
Nothing
it was
really
2-0 over the Mariners, but then in the top of the third, Domingo Santana, a grand slam for Seattle. They lead 5-2 in the very first game of this new season. It counts. It's in the Tokyo Dome. Ichiro is in right field, batting ninth for the Mariners. He popped out to second base in his first at-bat back in his home country. Dayton, often called the Tokyo of the Rust Belt, which is why it gets the host the first four. Belmont out, celebrating after an 81-70 final over Temple. It's the Bruins' first NCAA 20 victory ever. Head coach Rick Byrd.
I don't really care about the personal part. If we'd lost this game, I'd have been proud of what we've accomplished, but I don't have to answer that question anymore.
Bird's team finally pulled away with a 16-3 run in the second half. Kevin McClain scored 29. Up next, Maryland tomorrow. Fairleigh Dickinson gets a date with Gonzaga tomorrow in Salt Lake City after rallying past Prairie View A&M.
Send a shoot under 3 minutes to play. Jenkins starts to his right. Hand off edge. Catch and shoot. Yes, sir! Darnell Edge, as accurate as they come. Edge connects from downtown. 73-66, Fairleigh Dickinson.
That's Ted Emmerich on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Darnell Edge scored 33 as his Knights erased a 13-point hold to win 82-76. North Carolina Central and North Dakota State, St. John's and Arizona State tonight in Dayton. What a night from Mikey B and his Nets.
Nets have come back from 25 down to start the fourth quarter. Harris to inbound. Nets out of timeouts. They get it in to Hollis Jefferson. Up top. Three with two. Rondé driving. A floater is gone. He banked it in with 0.8. Rondé Hollis Jefferson puts the Nets on top.
Chris Carino, Nets Radio, Brooklyn, stealing a 123-121 win in Sacramento after trailing by 25 entering the fourth. Just the fourth time in the shot clock era that a team has overcome a deficit that big in the final period. Hollis Jefferson got the game winner while D'Angelo Russell scored 27 in that fourth quarter, a career-high 44 on the night. The Clippers stayed hot, 115-109 over the Pacers. L.A. is now 8-1 in March. 31 points and 10 assists for James Harden. Houston won in Atlanta, 121-105. The Warriors won in Minnesota, 117-107. And Robert Kraft and 24 other men offered a plea deal for their solicitation charges in Florida. Those charges will be dropped if the men admit they would have been convicted had their cases gone to trial. Guys?
All right. Which is strange when you think about it. So I can avoid prosecution, but I have to admit that I'd be proved guilty in a court of law.
Yeah, it is a little...
Well, I mean, who's going to... So, wait a second. So, Robert Kraft, who's pleaded not guilty, right? He can get out of being prosecuted, but he has to admit that he got serviced.
Which we already know he did. And we all think he's a dirty old man. So, like, to me, don't go to trial where things could get even more embarrassing.
But Kraft doesn't... Do you think Kraft really publicly wants to admit it happened?
But we know it did.
No, but that's not the point. I know we know. Do you think Kraft really wants to come out and publicly admit?
I mean, I know that would, in theory, it's tough, but I think, like, it's not going to change anything. Like,
I know it's not.
Like, it's not. And what could change things if we get to see that video because it's introduced in court. Of him in the room.
That'd be jarring.
Right. So, like, to me, get this over with. You know, the charges get dropped.
Well, they'd pixelate the video.
You're not in any kind of, you know, you're not on the witness stand. No one's testifying against you because public opinion is already set. We all think,
we all know
he did it. He's creepy and gross and disgusting.
I get it. I understand that. I just think for a guy, for a multi-billionaire to come out and, you know, $65, you know, fee down there, or whatever the hell it was, down at a massage parlor in Florida. I mean, that's a tough
bad decision there about him.
Well,
bunch of hogwash.
It's more than a bad. I don't know if Kraft wants to. It's like, okay, here's the deal. All right, we won't pursue charges against you, but you have to admit you did wrong.
Yeah. I don't know how this. Who knows how this is? Does he have? I'm sure he has grandkids, doesn't he? I would assume. I'm missing that for a reason.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure if his son is.
I feel like we would have seen a kid bouncing on a knee in all those luxury box shots we get during the game.
So, good point.
So maybe he doesn't.
I couldn't answer that. I'm not sure.
I'm just wondering that, just because it's got to be horrific for that situation, just for his family and the embarrassment and all
that
stuff.
What's Poppy doing?
You know, it's just rough. I was actually, when Andrew was done with his update, I was actually going to ask him a question about the. About our pool, about our tournament bracket thing, but that's okay. We went a different direction.
It's
kind of a disconnect now. It's kind of a different. What's that?
According to Wikipedia, he has a grandson, Harry.
Oh, there you go. Harry Kraft.
Kid's richer than us. So that's all that matters.
Harry Kraft.
Tough deal. I mean, we'll see what
happens. I don't think he admits guilt.
I don't think he lets himself go to trial.
I think Andrew brings up some good points, though, on this. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he does. I mean it's just like...
I think it's fascinating. I think it's absolutely intriguing. What do you do if you're Robert Kraft? Do you admit guilt, or do you go to trial and have video posted?
Yeah, tough spot.
I'd have to say this. That video, I have to watch it get burned. Like, that video cannot be out there. TMZ 6 months from now,
right,
when the Patriots season's about to open up, that video all of a sudden can't be out there.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope they're sitting on it. They're like, they're trying to figure out what's the perfect day to drop this bad boy.
Right. The Pats are in the AFC Championship game again. Drop the Kraft video.
That's probably what will happen. Something like that. You're probably right.
No, it can't be. It'd be like noon on that opening Thursday. They're about to open the season in Foxborough, and you're like,
Does the NFL Network avoid it?
Yes.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We'll get into the task of the Moose Bracket Challenger calls as well on the Trout deal in Los Angeles with the Angels. 855-212-4227. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
It's 3 weeks of great college hoops until a champion is crowned on April 8th. And you can talk about the games right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question, be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are exact fit for your vehicle with brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, Wagner, Thermo, Quiet, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. NCAA tournament gets going in full flight tomorrow, Taz, and yes, we've certainly got the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge.
Yes, sir. Thinking here, because I've been wavering back and forth on different. I had my bracket initially filled out, never locked it in, didn't hit export, did not hit export. I'm still not exported. So here's the thing here. I'm thinking, I don't know if we did this last year, you gentlemen might remember. I wonder if we should fill out certain parts of the bracket live on the air. What do you think of that? No?
Yeah, I mean, we could
do think? You think
I mean,
so?
Isn't that, aren't we going to be making picks tomorrow? Isn't that doing the same thing?
Is that what we're doing, Mike? Oh, picks.
Are we making selections?
No, I meant like you're filling out your bracket.
I don't know if there's a difference if you're saying, all right, I'm selecting this, here it is, or I selected.
No, because I got the idea from, who's the guy who, on the, what's his name, on CBS, the glasses, Adam, help me out.
Shine?
Yeah. Shine, yes.
Yep.
He filled out his bracket. I was watching, I flipped by the TV, I saw him on TV last night, and he's doing bracket by himself, and he's doing the bracket on TV, and I'm like, oh, why don't Moose and I do this?
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, we could fill out the bracket, but don't you know who you're going to pick, right?
Oh God, I know, but I'm just saying it might be fun to do for the audience to hear.
I thought that's what we were going to do.
But I was under the impression we're doing it privately.
But aren't we going through each and every game tomorrow? Aren't we picking all the games?
Yeah, but I meant like actually fill out the bracket as we're on the radio.
Sure. We could do that.
I think on radio and TV, it plays differently because you can see it with your eyes.
You're right, Mike. There's a big difference of watching Adam Schein with a dry erase board writing the word Louisville in as opposed to us saying the word Louisville.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we could do that. That's fine.
Tell me about TV.
But I mean, I could say I'm now writing in Louisville.
Oh, my God. Let's just do it any way you guys want to do it. That's the best way to.
The point is,
Pete, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
There's no difference.
It's unbelievable here. Pete's chuffing up.
I don't think there's a difference if you say who I'm picking or I'm picking this live. On the radio, it doesn't make a difference.
D-U-K-E. Duke.
Well, I don't know.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
I'll just be over here in the corner.
But I thought we're making selections.
I understand. I just thought it'd be like, all right, listen, I'm going to. All right, Moose, what do we got here? We got Michigan State and Bradley.
But it's not the first time you're going to be looking at the bracket. You're going to be going through it.
That's
right?
True. But that's true.
And we said we were going to do this already.
Yeah.
We talked about this. We said what you just said on the radio, we talked about yesterday and we did last year.
Was I there for this? I don't remember that.
You were here. You said, when are we doing the brackets? I said, we're filling out the brackets. We're going to do
the
brackets.
On the air, we said we're going to do the brackets out on the air. Well, my bracket's just about filled out already, though.
But the audience doesn't know
who's
that.
Who's on first?
It's the third time or the fourth time.
That's true.
I mean, fourth. The audience doesn't know that.
All right, you're right. That's a good point. It's not TV.
Whether or not it's physically written in or not, I don't think the audience really cares.
I get confused.
You're going to be making the announcement. Okay, who do you like?
Almost.
Do you like Duke to win? Or do you like the winner of VCU-UCF?
No, Moose, see this.
Duke-UCF.
I get a little confused because we're supposed to have video. I keep thinking we're on video. I see all these cameras around us, and they all have black lights. That means the cameras are off.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I see the cameras, I think we're on TV or video, and we're not.
Right.
So, but to you and Mike's point, yeah, I mean, so no one has to know that our brackets are not filled out already as we say them.
Correct.
So Syracuse, Baylor. Well, I'll tell you, I think I'm putting Syracuse ahead of Baylor, Moose.
I'm taking Syracuse. Give me a couple reasons why. That's how you properly do it.
Every game.
Every game. I need rationale and reasoning.
Every game. Okay.
What?
You'll get rationale and reasoning.
We're going to go through it. It's going to be a whole 3 hour.
Sounds riveting.
Deep dive into the NCAA tournament.
The three R's. Rationale, riveting, and whatever the other one you said was.
Right. So, yeah. As long as we keep the word entertainment out of it, that's the key.
No, it's going to be people want to win money. That's it.
Oh, that's it. That people want to win. So wait, everybody who listens to the show, all they care about is sports gambling.
If you're filling your bracket out, yes.
No, give me a break.
Here comes the money.
I got people in my family that fill out brackets all the time, and none of them are gambling.
For nothing?
Yes, for fun, dude. Just for
who does that?
A lot of people.
It's probably 50-50.
There's some that do it for fun.
There's a lot of people.
We're offering people. Who the hell fills out their bracket just for fun? Let me fill out a bracket. I'm not going to try and win anything. Let me just see.
Now you're going to just. You're unbelievable.
What do you mean?
You're unbelievable.
Why am I unbelievable?
You're joking or you're serious?
What do you mean?
You got to be joking.
No, I'm not joking. What do you mean?
Then If there's nothing on the line? Yes, people do it for fun. Believe it or not, they don't have to gamble money.
Right.
Some people don't gamble, Moose.
Then why have we had a debate for 2 days about what's on the line between the six of us?
It's a joke. That's what I thought.
No, it's not.
To me, it's a joke.
That is not.
It's a joke.
Why did Bisseglia come up with the if we nothing's on the line, it's all for fun. Why are we going to be autographing a signed rundown for whoever
it's
wins?
It's fun. It's good for people that
like
the show.
No, that's something on the line.
God. Oh, my God.
It's something to win.
The loser between us has to be the show butler for the day.
Let me up.
Your family, you guys do a bracket. People fill out.
Not my immediate family, my distant family.
What does that mean?
Well, cousins, second uncles.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. Why am I?
That's not
you got some set
that's
on you.
Not true.
You're lying. I'm not lying.
Nobody fills out a
holy
bracket.
Dude, I want to curse a lot right now.
Why are you going to curse?
Because I'm mad.
Why are you mad?
Because I don't believe
you're being too serious.
I'm passionate. I don't believe that you're so just locked into that it's got to have something on the line. I know you're Mr. Competitive. I respect that. I used to be a little competitive in my day. But so I understand that part. But there doesn't always be something on the line. People do stuff for fun. They do a bracket. They fill out a bracket. Oh, everybody does it for money. What am I winning?
What percentage of the people do you think fill out a bracket just to say, let me fill out a bracket?
This is poll worthy. This is the team.
How many people fill out a bracket with nothing on the line?
Moose, I don't have the answers. You do.
No, I'm just asking.
I don't
educate me.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't have all the answers. You have the answers.
Maybe only 10% gamble on the tournament.
You want me to give you percentage now?
No,
of the world.
No, no, I'm being facetious. Will you relax for a second? I mean, take a chill pill for a second. All right,
that is a good poll, though.
I mean, honestly,
it is a good poll, right?
Right.
I am chilling right now. This is actually me chilling.
Yeah, good.
I'm chilling.
Because you're taking everything way too seriously. No, but the point being is that no, I would never fill out a bracket. If you're asking me, someone's like, "Hey, could you enter my pool? Oh, what's on the line? Nothing. Now I'll piss."
Okay, well, Moose, that's you. Not everyone does what Mark Belusis does.
And
believe
I gave
it or not,
my opinion.
Not everyone does.
Mark, I gave my opinion.
Not everyone. Not everyone.
I gave my opinion.
And I gave mine. Right. And I'm telling you that I'm one of these guys. You could call me a sucker. You could call me a mark.
You
are
a mark. I'm not calling you.
But no,
great.
I'm just saying, if I just want to do a pool for fun or a tournament bracket, I'll fill it out for fun.
All
with
right,
people.
So last year, how many other pools did you enter?
Zero.
Okay, not for fun.
Nobody invented me. Nobody invited me. That's
so
why.
You didn't do one on the side.
No,
why
I wasn't
not?
Because I did one for the show. How many pools am I going to do? I do one, I'm good,
well,
bro.
You could do multiple pools.
Oh, for what?
You could enter multiple
Nobody
pools.
Does
you
that.
Could fill out
Who
another pool
I'm
for fun.
No, I'm not doing that.
We all do.
I don't have time for that. Not everyone does what you do. You think everyone does what you do?
I'm not saying everyone does.
You're implying it.
I'd say a large. If you think gambling does not play a role in the popularity of the tournament,
I did not say that.
You think filling out brackets? If you think the large percentage of people filling out brackets have nothing on the line, then that's foolish.
Did I say that?
No, you implied. That
I
a
did
lot
not
of people
imply that. I said to
fun.
You that there are a lot of people that don't. They do go into these things, and there's nothing on the line. They just do it for fun.
What pool? I want to see that pool.
I don't know.
I want to find me some pools where it's just
you just
fun.
Sit there and laugh at my face.
I'm not laughing.
Laugh at me.
I want to know. I'm not laughing.
You can have your little
you.
Cronies behind what? The glass
what?
Laugh at me.
What?
Your little buddies.
What?
They could laugh. What? Look at Pete laughing. Look at
Body.
Me.
You're laughing.
Body.
You're laughing.
Body.
You're laughing.
Body.
I'm not laughing. How many pools have you entered in your life?
A fairly good amount.
Shocking. All right. How many pools have that been the case where you've been sent to the email or someone says, "All right, Pete, why don't you join our pool?" Do you ask what's on the line?
It's really unfair to ask this guy this question.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
If they say nothing is on the line, are you entering the pool?
Probably not, but it depends upon what it is.
I understand it depends. Like, sometimes you could be like, okay, it's $500 entry. I'm not entering that pool.
Hold on.
Or it's $100.
It's, moose,
I'm stewards for
moose,
my
moose,
blood.
Moose, moose,
20
moose,
bucks.
Or
I'm
whatever
saying,
sport
yeah,
it is. Okay.
But I don't think, like, for
moose,
the most part, if you're
moose,
entering a
moose.
Pool, you, the competitive it's, nature, you want something on the line.
And I agree with that, but...
Yeah.
But for the most, but you ask a guy like Pete, guys that work, people that work here, especially on this floor, in this newsroom area, in these radio stations.
I just asked a Hall of Famer.
I know. That's a good point. You did.
Thank you.
That's a good point. But the thing is, like, a lot of these folks here, as you know, are very, they're hardcore people who work in sports. They follow sports. And a lot of them get involved with gambling.
And that's okay. And I love Bilotti, but Bilotti is a hardcore wrestling fan. He's
I know
a hardcore baseball fan. He's a hardcore football fan. I would not say Pete Bilotti is a hardcore basketball fan, college basketball fan.
Correct.
No, but so, my point is I'm talking about what you're saying, the on-the-line thing, like what's on the line or money or gambling or competitiveness. The guy who's going to win a T-shirt.
Mm.
I think some people, they just do it. Let's have fun, Judy. Let's do a poll.
So you and your wife fill out a pool and see who's the NCAA March Madness champion of the Taz household.
My wife don't give a rat's ass about any
you
of these
and
pools.
You and your son do it.
No, my son is in one, I think, for money. So there you go.
I mean, so do you and you talk about your brother-in-law a lot. Do you and your brother-in-law do it?
We were in one. Well, there was a prize. It was a cigar and one. So no. Okay, Moose, I'm being honest. I'm not going to.
I appreciate
there.
Your
I'm being
honesty.
Honest with you. Yeah, but
there's always something on the line.
I mean, but your implication was it's got to be money.
No,
it does
no,
it for money.
I said there's no. That's not true. That is not true.
Maybe I misheard you. Maybe
that is not true.
Maybe I misheard you.
Lee Mean can rewind that thing. I said there's always something. On the line. We debated about yesterday for 15 minutes about what's going to be on the line for the six of us. We put something on the line for the non-Taz show personnel is signing up to the Taz of the Moose bracket.
Non-Taz
you're going to get a
show.
Signed rundown. That's something on the line.
Man,
it's not cash, but something is on the line.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.